Hello, welcome to Math for Knitters. This is Lara, and this is episode 19. Continuing with the it's my cat. He just bit me. continuing with our Fibonacci theme. This week, I'm going to talk about the number 3. 3 appears in many, many different places in knitting, and I'm going to miss a lot of them, I'm sure. But this week, I'm taking advantage of 2 of them. And one way is the continental or German cast on, which I think of as taking 3 steps to complete. Basically, you need a very, very long tail of yarn or 2 different tails of yarn. And actually, I prefer to use 2 when I can because I hate casting on like up to 5 away from what I want and running out of my tail. And what that tail does is it wraps around the bottom of the stitches you are making to form that cast-on edge. It's a really nice, firm cast-on, but it's also not quite as easy to do too tight or too floppy as the first cast-on, which most people learn. I don't know if there's a name for that. It's just you just make the little loops and get started. But until I learned long tail, I really hated my cast-on edges. They were always so sloppy looking, no matter what I did. And I just think it's a really neat cast-on. I'm going to describe it here for you now, but when you get a chance, you should have a look at the show notes because I even set up a tripod and photographed myself doing this. Not very well, I should say. The time release function on my camera does not work the way that I think that it should. And so while I was waiting for the shutter to trip, I would usually move. And so the picture is not in perfect focus, although I think you can see what's going on pretty well. But if you're doing 2 separate tails, I like to start by just tying them both together into a loose slip knot, and that gives me kind of an anchoring point. And then after I'm finished with the first row, I do pull it out. So that does not count as your first stitch. I have that, and then I make sure that the yarn I want to be on the bottom of the stitch is toward me, and the yarn that I want to be on the top of the stitch, or the actual knitting, is away from me. Is that right? Yes. So the yarn that's going back to the ball, for example, if I'm just using one long tail, is facing away from me. And the yarn that I've pulled out to form this long tail, or that is to the second ball of yarn, is toward me. And then I make, with my left hand, I have the needle in my right hand. With my left hand, I make an OK sign. And I stick the finger and the thumb of that OK sign in between the 2 tails. And then I reach with my other 3 fingers and turn my hand and grab both of those tails to kind of hold the yarn. It's not entirely vital. You do it this way, but it's just a way that's worked for me. And then I separate my finger and my thumb, and it forms kind of a Y with the yarn. If you look, the yarn and my fingers now make kind of a box shape. And then I take the tip of my needle in my right hand, and I trace it along the fleshy part of my thumb. It's called the Mound of Venus in some circles. But I'm tracing that part of my thumb, and what that does is it forms a loop around the thumb, which I can then poke the end of my needle through, reach around the back, grab the working yarn, the yarn that I want to make the stitch with, grab that from behind, pull it all back toward me, back through that thumb loop, so that now I have the actual working yarn on this needle, with various other things going on behind it. And then I drop my left thumb, dropping the loop off of my thumb, and allow a little tug and bring it all together. And once you're good at it, it's very fast, it's very efficient, it's very even, at least for me, it's much more even than just about any other cast on. And it's really neat. I think it looks really nice, pretty much, with any kind of yarn and any kind of needles. In my opinion, this first row tends to look like a knit row So if I'm going to do stockinette or ribbing or anything like that, then for me, the first row after the cast on is a purl row. So that's my opinion about that. The second number three thing, and I promise this is the last hat. I just went on kind of a hat tear. But in this case, I got 64 stitches on my fat, dark navy wool and, you know, knit a three by one rib, which is like three knits, one purl rib, around and around and around until it was about as long as my hand, a little bit longer. And then I started decreasing. And what I did was I put the stitches onto double points. So I had four double pointed needles to hold the stitches and one to work with. So I had a set of five. And what this did is it automatically divided all of my stitches into a group of four that were even. And that made it a lot easier because instead of doing eight decreases every other round divided out into eight, I'm actually going to do a double decrease divided into four. So it's still eight stitches, but it's going to be, they're kind of squished together differently. And what's nice is the ribbing in this hat keeps that from going a little funky. Normally when you do that, it can make kind of a square shape to the top of the hat, which I still think looks very cute, but some people might not like that look as much. So what I did was I just performed a double decrease over each of the first three knit ribs that I came across on the hat. So for instance, on needle number one, I did a double decrease and then worked my purl and then just followed across. So knit three, purl one, knit three, purl one, across that needle. Next double pointed needle, same thing. Decreasing on the first K3 that I came to, turning it into a K1, and so on. So it's the first decrease round, and then one round plain, and then for the second decrease round, you're still decreasing on the first K3 set of stitches you come to. So the first time you see three stitches, knit stitches together on the needle, that's a decrease. Decrease there. Continue that pattern until you come. Eventually you're going to have a one by one hat. And do what you want to from there, but what I did is I just kind of used SSKs to pull the decreases in the direction I liked. And I just turned, basically I divided the hat into eight decreases instead of four, or moved them into eight places instead of four. So in the first round, I had a decrease at the beginning of the needle and another one halfway across. And I just let all the other stitches become purls because I had so few stitches even already at that point because I had such chunky fat wool. Although you could use the same idea for even, you know, a hat with smaller stitches, with more stitches, and it could all work out pretty well for you. And I also have a picture of this on the site and my notes. So if you're a visual learner, instead of wanting to try to decipher what I'm saying, you can go look. And the website for the site is math4knitters, that's the number 4.blogspot.com. And once again, that's about it. Unfortunately, shows are going to still be a little bit erratic until probably mid-October, but I'm scheduled to present my thesis on October 5th at 3:30, and hopefully after that, things will settle down around here, and I'll be able to get back to doing this on a weekly basis, because I love doing it every week, because I love you guys, and first of all, thanks to all my listeners, and welcome to anyone new. I guess I should say last of all, because the show's basically over. I have a lot of ideas in the works. A lot of them are your ideas, and thank you for that. In particular, somebody wants to see a sweater pattern that was written and I believe worsted, reworked into bulky. And I will do that. It's on my to-do list. I don't know how long it will take me to do that, but I will. And I hope you all have a great week, and I hope you're enjoying the weather, whatever it is, wherever you are, and happy knitting. Bye.